Hola, you are listening to Las Chicas del Crime, a podcast where tres amigas sit down and talk all true crime for Hispanic and American crimes.
This episode of Las Chicas del Crime contains explicit content not suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
¿Quién somos?
I'm Osa.
I'm Kat.
And I'm Jen.
Y somos Las Chicas del Crime. Woo!
All right. Hola, hola, chicos, chicas. Hola,
chicas, it's just Jen and me today because Kat is living her best life. She just got back from Hawaii, but, you know, she needs a little time to wind down because
She was living it up.
Living
so
it up.
So proud of her.
The islands.
Mm-hmm. But she's getting her rest on, so we're holding it down today. But it's cool because, you know, we're still popping. You know,
period. And it won't be a full episode. It'll just be a little update and a space for us to get some frustrations out.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're
yes,
very fucking frustrated.
Yeah, this is gonna be more like a live take on a current topic that's happening right now. So it's a little different than what we've usually do, but this is very much well deserved. As this is something that is continuously growing and becoming more apparent. So we are here to talk about this and get this information out and hopefully spread the awareness of this to keep our people safe, especially our women. So let's get into it. Let's get into it. This episode we are dedicating to Mia Marcano, who, as we all have had recently come to learn, unfortunately, in not the best of ways. She was 19 years old, originally from South Florida. She had recently graduated from Flanagan High School and was currently a student here in Orlando at Valencia College. Mia lived and worked at Arden Villas, which is an off-student housing apartment complex off of Alafaya Road near UCF. And she had previously spoken out about someone that was being stalked and harassed by someone that worked in her property. She repeatedly declined all of these advancements and dates. But unfortunately, as we all are aware, this did not end very well. Before continuing on, I do want to kind of touch base on a quick little note, but this story, actually, we'll leave this to the end because there's a lot of points we'll talk about that. So we'll leave that for the end. But the quick timeline of what happened, because unfortunately it was a quick, short timeline. Mia was last seen Friday, September 24th at about 5 p.m. at Arden Villas near UCF. Again, like I mentioned, she lived and worked there, and she was also set to board a flight home that same night to Fort Lauderdale to be with her family as they were getting ready to celebrate Carnival. And her dad is actually like a huge Soca Carnival DJ, and her stepmom is actually pretty well known as well in the islands. They're from Trinidad. So, you know, it was a really big thing for her family, and she was gonna go get ready for it. But later that evening, her family started to kind of get worried because no one had really heard from her. Mia was the type of person that was always in contact with her family. She was always sending them Snapchats and pictures and audios and stuff like that, just kind of chatting it up and laughing and whatnot. So when her family didn't hear from her, at about 5:30, 6 o'clock, when she would already been home, you know, they started kind of get a little worried, but they're thinking maybe she took a nap or she got a little bit busy. So we'll just, you know, kind of hold off and see what's going on. Well, as time went on, they never heard from her and they don't know if she, you know, ever made it on that flight. So they went to the airport and they're like, maybe her phone died at the airport, but she boarded the flight. We don't know. So let's go check the airport and see if she's there, which can happen. It's happened to me plenty of times.
Right.
So her family pulls up to the airport. They go check in at the Southwest desk and see if she ever checked into her flight. And unfortunately, she never did. She never made it to the airport. At that moment, her family knew something was off. So her cousin reports, they literally drove back from the airport, packed a bag and headed to Orlando. They got to Orlando at 3:30 that same morning. So they wasted no time, which shout out to them. Because any other, a lot of people, you know, there's just a lot of times that, oh, you know, we'll see if they show up and this and that, thinking that the person's just, you know, whatever. And unfortunately, that's not the case. And had they been a little bit more active, maybe they could have avoided that. So cool to see that they reacted so quickly in that sense. So that was Friday. Saturday morning, like I mentioned, they pull up at 3:30 in Orlando. And here's where shit starts to get super sketchy. So they pull up to the complex and the roommate is opening the door because, oh, I forgot to mention, Mia did have a roommate who she shared her apartment with. And the roommate left them in to the apartment, you know, let them know, hey, I actually haven't seen her. Like, I thought she had gone off to the airport already because of the way the schedules were, they had missed each other. So there was really no way for the roommate to know she had ever even made it home. But the roommate was letting the family in. But before that actually happened, before they even got to the door, as they're approaching the apartment, they realize that they see someone coming out from behind, from the back of her apartment.
Okay.
And he's turning up. And so he comes into the hallway. And the first thing he says to them is, are you looking for Mia?
Huh.
And the family's like, who the fuck are you? 3:30 right. in the morning. Like, for them, they're like, why would you know if we're looking for Mia or not? Like, who the fuck are you? So the family asks him, who are you? And he's like, oh, I'm the maintenance guy. The office called me to come check out Mia's apartment because apparently no one has seen her since earlier this afternoon. And then he goes, the office let me know you're looking for me. And the family goes, we don't even know who you are. Why would we be looking
right.
for you?
The office doesn't even know anything because they just went into action right away. And
at this point, there was no. Mm-hmm. See, I had heard about the fact that the aunt had encountered him, but the way that a lot of the other articles had made it seem it was like a phone call or something.
Okay.
But I was just watching a YouTube video and I came across the actual interview of the aunt reporting this encounter. And she's like, no, we were face to face with him. He was coming out of her apartment at 3:30 in the morning. He was coming out of her bedroom window, basically, which makes sense because remember me and you talked about how deputies had reported that. Well, we'll get into that. Let me not skip some stuff. But
right.
He was coming out of the window. And yeah, the aunt reported that this encounter happened face to face. And the family was like, yo, like, we haven't even notified anybody that we can't find her. So how the fuck do you know we're looking for you? Like, the family didn't even know they had to look for him yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
like,
he's nobody. Who the fuck are you?
Exactly. Like, so no dots were connected yet. So the family instantly was like, what the fuck is going on? So they called the police right away. The police came, questioned him.
Oh.
And then let him go. Because at that point, they had nothing really, no substantial anything to question. But I'm like, but if someone's telling you that this man just walked out of this apartment at 3 a.m. and they're calling to let you know that their said family member is potentially missing, that's enough for me, I would say, to take him downtown or wherever, the precinct.
Yeah, to keep him for questioning and keep grilling him. Absolutely.
Especially since he's already like, oh, are you looking for Mia without any,
like,
knowledge?
How do you know anybody's looking for anybody? Like, we could just be coming up to her house to visit her. You don't know that. Who
right.
the fuck are you?
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh,
and so
I didn't
the aunt was like
this.
Mm-hmm. And
I've
the
been
aunt was so
up with
pissed
it, but like not as close. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good. You're good. And there's a lot of misinformation circulating as well. We got to be careful
of
with
course.
That because like all of his records and shit, which I clear up here, but a lot of those rumors that were going around about his record aren't all accurate. But yeah, the police literally had him right there, questioned him, asked him a couple questions and let him go.
You know what though? Once that autopsy's done, if she was alive before then, bro, that's gonna be sad as fuck.
Well, I have news on that. We'll get there. So after this encounter, Mia's dad approached Caballero, which is Armando, and asked if he had any contact with his daughter, and Caballero was getting skittish, seemed nervous, didn't really like respond to anything. The only thing he answered was is that he hadn't seen Mia since 3 p.m. that Friday before leaving work. So Sunday comes around, Sunday, September 26th, deputies start to search the apartment building and start to actually, you know, really get a search underway. Monday, September 27th, the one and only person of interest in this case, Armando Caballero of 27 years old, was found dead by suicide. The coward, because that's what he is, the coward hung himself in the maintenance garage of the previous apartment complex where he used to work.
Oh, okay.
He was found by their employees that Monday. Yeah, he was found. Sorry, I lost my spot. He was found that Monday. He hung himself. And why is this all apparent? Well, Caballero, like I mentioned, was a maintenance worker at Arden Villas, and he was reported that he was the last person to actually produce a master key fob for Mia's apartment. He entered her apartment 30 minutes before she was last seen, or last noted to be seen. So he was in her apartment at 4:30. She got out of work at 5, meaning he was already in her apartment waiting for her.
And he lied about when the last time he saw her, because obviously he sees her after 4:30, because that's when he's in there and she comes home at 5.
Exactly.
Bro, and so, like, that's crazy because I'm going to just comment on this and then I'll let you keep going. A lot of people are like, oh, you know what I'm saying? You got to be like kind of proactive on protecting yourself and stuff. Like, you know, women get a gun, and which I'm all for or whatever. And I'm the type of person who I'm always very aware of my surroundings. But like, she was coming home. Like, there was nothing for her to be like, she, if the only person that should have been at her house was her roommate, if her roommate was there, or nobody. Because like, bro, that's crazy. Like, you're just not safe anywhere.
No, and then exactly like you're mentioning, she's coming home. So in her mind, she's about to be in her protective space. She's disarming pretty much. You know, she's relaxing.
Exactly.
She's about to let loose. She's going to get in the shower. She's getting ready to board her flight tonight to go see her family. You know, yeah, like in her mind, she got her shit going on.
Regular day, regular, you know, day after work and what she got to do.
Right. So yeah, this is, you know, obviously this is why he's important here, because he is the maintenance worker, the only said maintenance worker to have had her key fob and entered, because their doors are key fob doors and it'll tell you each time your key fob was used to enter. So his enter time is 4:30. Obviously there's no exit time because reports show that he took her out of the window. So that's a quick timeline. You know, that's just basically what happened there. There's some, now let's get into a little bit of the details of the investigation, what was found, you know, all that stuff. So again, like I mentioned, he's a person of interest because it said he had the master key fob. He was a person who had been texting her, harassing her, trying to take her out on dates, all of these things. And she had kept rejecting him and what have you. Right. So he gets into her apartment at 4:30. Investigators say that she might have been taking a shower when she was attacked because of the way her room was and of the way things were set up. And they did report that she was able to, I guess they were able to notice that she did complete her shower. Like, she wasn't attacked in the shower. She completed her shower. And it seems that as though she was getting out and she was distracted, not paying attention, obviously, because you're not expecting to get attacked in your house.
Yeah, she was exactly. Already in her house. She didn't see nobody. She didn't hear nobody. She went in the shower, because if you hear something, you're not going to go in the shower. Like, right, that, as women, we know that. So exactly.
And it looks like while she was in the shower, he blocked her bedroom door. I was not able to find a lot of specifics on this finding. But he, and since, of course, since the case is still open, you know, that police report isn't right, public.
Of course.
So her bedroom door was blocked, but her bedroom window was open. And the room showed signs of struggles, and there was blood on her pillow.
Oh.
Her family noticed a couple of things that were just off, like a couple of pieces of jewelry that she would wear no matter what, even if it didn't go with her outfit. Her cousin said that she wore it always. She never took it off at all, not even to shower. You know, there were gold pieces of jewelry. While the nameplate, her nameplate was broken and on the floor. Oh. It wasn't unclasped. It was broken. On the floor, the pillow, the blood on the pillow. And then the grandma said that there was, she had left her teddy, and basically her teddy bear, she took it with her everywhere, especially if she was going to go on a flight and stuff. So once they saw all of that, that they knew something was just not right. Yeah. So reported say that he blocked her, blocked the door so she couldn't get out of the room while she was in the shower. And then my understanding is he knocked her unconscious or did some sort of attack to get her unconscious. And that's how he got her out of the window. But reports show him entering the room at 4:30 and his cell phone tower, which this information came in a couple of days later, which is why they were able to find her body on, you know, Monday. But her cell phone towers had led them to an apartment complex at about the hours of 8:30 to 9 o'clock. So that's about 4.5-5 hour window.
Right.
After that 5 hour window, he was in this apartment complex area for about 20 minutes the same night she went missing. And he never returned to that spot again. So speculation is that whatever he did to her was done within that small window. Because that cell phone ping is where her body was found with her purse and identification in it.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that the body was found with the cell phone was pinged, but I didn't know what time the cell phone had pinged. So that's why my, you know, earlier I had made that suggestion. Oh, wow.
Well, that's what I was like, we'll get to that in a second, time window. Because, you know, yeah, usually that's important. You know, that time of kidnapping to where an assailant or the cell phone ping, that's usually the window when the crime was committed. Well, now we're led to believe that the crime was pretty much committed right away. Like he probably didn't torture her that much or whatever people are thinking, you know, it was obviously a short period of window. So it led you to believe that he did everything he did pretty much right away, unfortunately. And then
like he, yeah, I mean, because her chain was broken, it sounds like she fought. So he probably wasn't expecting that, because he probably was delusional about her since he wouldn't leave her alone after she had already told him she did not want to date him or whatever. So like that delusion was probably not an excuse at all, but I'm saying like that delusion, once she fought him back, he was just like, oh shit, you know what I'm saying? And then that's when he unfortunately did what he did or whatever. And it's just that's crazy. Like, wow, that's crazy.
I agree with you on that. I really do. Just with the way everything is set up, the way everything kind of played itself out, this obviously was very much a revenge killing, I'm trying to get back at you type of thing, because he felt rejected. He felt, it was a passion killing in the sense. He felt rejected. He felt, you know, maybe humiliated depending on the situations that happened. Who really knows, you know?
Or he just felt like, you know, typical, like, well, I was nice to you. You know what I'm saying? You owe me that. And you should at least go on a date with me, you know?
But we don't owe you shit.
Crazy.
You're supposed to be nice.
No, we didn't.
We don't owe you shit for you being nice. The fuck?
And she didn't ask you to be nice. You were trying to, you know, talk to her and she just was not interested. Like, no is because no and move on.
If you were to tell me maybe she entertained him and they went out a couple of times and all this stuff, you know, not that it's justifiable. I'm not justifying at all. But it gives you more context. Exactly.
To his delusion.
But the fact that she never even
get what you're saying.
yeah, like the fact that she never entertained him, she never flirted back with him, none of this stuff, you know, as reported, allegedly, you know, right. It's like the delusion was clearly in his head. It's one of those things, well, like, if I can't have you, no one can, type of shit.
No one can, right?
Like, my man's, I know the girl was absolutely drop dead gorgeous, yeah, you know, was. And reports, woman. Yeah, by everybody saying, you know, she obviously was attractive and smart and had a really, and a lot nice. Of good things going for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I could see why someone would take interest in someone like that, obviously. But dog, respect.
Well, yeah.
Come on, she's 19.
No, no. Yeah.
She was a baby, yeah. And he was 27. Yeah. The fuck do you want to do with a 19-year-old?
That, okay. That's a whole nother fucking box of shit that we could open right now. A box of worms okay. that we could open right now. Because, like, sir, you near 30.
The fuck that's is you a doing? Baby. You know, and it's just this whole situation really just bothers me. Now, to mention, let me add this fucking statement here, that this bullshit ass apartment complex gave on Tuesday a public release, not even directly to the family. This is a public statement. Let me add, after a thorough review of the ongoing reporting on the situation surrounding Miss Marcano, we would like to provide the following factual updates. Oye, que tú. Regarding our hiring process, all potential employees are vetted through a national background check service provider. Concerning Mr. Caballero's, specifically, no records of either burglary or sexual assault were found, and rumors to the contrary appear to be based on online documents referencing someone with the same name. As part of the onboarding process, all new employees undergo thorough sexual harassment deterrence training, covering aspects from recognizing what qualifies as inappropriate to how to report unwanted behavior. We take all accusations very seriously, but receive none from any parties involved directly or indirectly with the situation, which that actually was debunked. And then it says, to ensure nothing like this happens at Arden Villas, we are taking numerous proactive steps to enhance our security protocols.
It already happened. What do you mean to ensure that nothing happens? It already happened.
But
somebody
but yesterday
who got a key fob that did not need to be had because she did not call mm-hmm. for maintenance.
Mm-hmm. And a request was open.
And it's crazy because they're acting like, oh, nobody brought this to my attention. Like, if y'all work in the same office, y'all saw that. Y'all for sure saw that man trying to court that girl and her say no. There's no that way part. That he was obviously open about it. So don't, like, that. They're acting like it was just somebody who mm-hmm. lived there. You know, he's just a tenant. It could be less likely that was seen by somebody else in the office that he was harassing her. But as both of them, and I know it because I worked in a motherfucking complex before, and it was for a small period of time, but the girl that I work with, because usually you have two people there because one person has to go do tours while the other ones keeps the office open. Mm-hmm. The girl that mm-hmm. I work with, if anybody would have talked to me, anytime anybody talked to me, actually, she would overhear it too because we sat next to each other. And I'm 100% almost sure that they did not have their own office. And if they did have their own office, it was probably like an open office, because when people mm-hmm. come in to watch apartment, to see apartments, that door has to be open so they know that they could come and talk to you. I worked at an apartment complex. I know exactly how that should be. So the fact that they're sitting here acting like, oh, we didn't know, bro, y'all had to see that shit. And maybe not like the owner, but somebody else had to see that shit. So for them to sit there
somebody.
And mm-hmm. like that, no, don't like it.
But it's bullshit anyways, because so their lawyer, the family gave a press conference yesterday, and the lawyer spoke for most of them. And the lawyer had answered a couple of questions in regards to what the complex was doing. If they reached out to the family, if they've said anything or whatever. And the lawyer said that they haven't even provided a condolence to the family. Excuse me. They haven't given condolences. They haven't, like, specified. They haven't given any, like, detailed information. They're not complying with a lot of things. They're being very, like, he said that the overall, their behavior is very disappointing. And I'm like, you know what? That really just goes to believe is that they know they're guilty of negligence. And they yeah. can't step up to even admit that. They don't want anything to do with that because they know that this is on their hands. Mm-hmm. Because there's also reports, the lawyer said, that a lot of people even came forward, people that live in that complex, and reported the same thing even after this case came open. The people had hit up their family specifically, like in the DMs, emails, and all that stuff, and shared personal experiences that they had in this complex with this man. So you mean to tell me that the management didn't know anything?
And I know, I personally know somebody who lived there for 3 years while she was going to UCF. Is that what's the college that they're called? And she said that, you know, I don't know if it was the same guy or not, but that, you know, maintenance just came in and out. They didn't let you know, like, you know, nothing. She just, you never knew when there was going to be, you know, people coming in and out. And I also saw a tweet about a girl, she's from Tampa, that says that she went to her office and was like, hey, like, I don't give any permission for nobody to come in my house unless I'm in there, this, that, and the third. And apparently, like, that's available, like, you could do that, which is cool, you know what I'm saying, a precaution. But obviously, he wasn't asking for permission or waiting for you to give them permission, you know? And right. So, like, no matter how much precaution us as women or anybody could take, you know, there's people that just don't give a fuck and are going to do what they feel like what they need to do. And that's fucking insane.
Yep. It's really gross, honestly. Like, I just, and then the worst part about this shit is, though, is that there was another incident back in March. A woman reported that somebody had thrown a 5-pound weight through her front window. And she was sitting in her bed, she was sitting in her apartment or whatever on her phone, and all of a sudden she just hears her window crash and sees that there's a 5-pound weight that had just been thrown through a window. And she believes that she never saw the person actually, like, who actually threw it, but she believes it was Caballero because he had recently had previously asked her out on a date. He had wrote her a note. Oh, and Lord. At the time she had, you know, like, agreed to it because she was like, it wasn't like uncomfortable at the time, you know, it was kind of whatever, blah, blah, blah. So she had agreed to it because for the next couple of days.
I saw the picture. He was a decent look, like a regular looking. Yeah. Dude. Yeah. Oh, not nothing. Yeah. And so, like, you know, you could see how somebody could be attracted to him and be like, right, okay, his advances, which, you know, this lady obviously was.
Right, exactly. So she agreed to the day, and she's like, yeah, you know, but she had agreed to it from, like, a couple of days from now, you know, like, not, like, the same day. But he had asked her to switch the date to that same night. And at that moment, she has switched her mind and said no, that she was no longer interested in going out because she found that to be weird. So eventually she also turned in the note, like the note that he had given her, asked her out on a date or whatever. But yeah, that was back in March of this year.
That's crazy.
So, but she never reported anything or whatever because she didn't have anything solid to say it was him. She didn't really know how to report it. But not only that does he have that on his past, but he also had, and this is fact checked by the Florida Department of Law Enforcement before anybody wants to come at me. His criminal history only shows one prior arrest in 2013 for using a destructive device resulting in property damage and discharging a weapon on school property, which he created a fake bomb and just used it as a joke, as a prank on his dorm mates, but nobody was harmed. It was literally a fake bomb. Right. Like, it wasn't even, it literally just was like one of those science experiments you used to do back in the day with baking soda and bullshit, you know, nothing crazy. So it wasn't, you know, nothing serious. So, like, he didn't have too much of a background, obviously. Nothing to really, like, super alarming.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I just feel like there is no way in hell this apartment complex didn't have any type of complaints on this man or nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And my friend wrote me and said that he knew him. Not like they weren't friends or nothing, but he had been around him a couple of times. And my friend, he's a real cool dude. And he didn't tell me that he gave him bad vibes. So it's not like people could be like, oh, rip, you know what I'm saying? He gave me a funny vibe. No, like, he was just a regular dude. Obviously, he was fucked up in the head because what he did is not normal. I'm not, no. But I'm saying, So to my point is like, it's not like she could have saw it coming. Like he was just a regular dude who did that. And like, I was actually looking, because I was, you know, I told you I was going to give some statistics and stuff. I was going to get all professional with it. But first of all, when it comes to femicide, like with her, there is only like the data only shows an inter-partnership femicide. So like women who get killed of like from men who are not their partners, it's just a regular homicide, which we know that that's not what it is. It's femicide because it's a woman being killed pretty much because she's a woman. Also, like stalking and stuff, like harassment is not against the law. It's just like it's kind of like an evidence of stalking. Also, like stalking has to be like a certain amount of things that have to happen within a 4-month span. Like what if you don't have 4 months? Like, bro, somebody could be stalking you for 2-3 days and something could happen.
Yeah.
So like it kind of sucks, because I was looking, and like when it came to that, I told you femicide, it's all about inter-partnership violence, which then led me to then look at other statistics, and was that a lot of men, misogynist men, are like, oh, I don't understand how you guys are saying that this happens all the time when men get killed more than women, which is true. Men do get killed at a higher rate than women by other men, by other women. So, and women, the women that get killed usually by men. So, right.
And it's usually it's a form of, because they were rejected because of something, because you didn't comply. Sorry. It's usually as a revengeful tactic. It's not like, oh, it's an accident or whatever the fuck. Yeah, it's usually with intent.
No, like it's right. Because of that. So like a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, they read like, oh yeah, men get killed more than women. Yes, but we're cool, so stop killing each other. We're not telling you how to kill each other. Like, we're just telling you how to not kill us, diva.
Right.
And then like people were like we said, guns. Okay, cool. I have our knives that we have or whatever, but as soon as I get in my house, I hang my keys up, so I don't have the knife anymore. You know what I'm saying? So then what? Like, at my own house, I'm not protected. Like, it's crazy.
You're not going to be walking with your gun in your pocket all day long, especially with a 2-year-old. Like, who the fuck could do that?
Exactly. Then I was, oh my God, it was so fucking stupid. This one guy was like, it's in the middle of this going on. Mia's body had not been found yet. So he was like, it's crazy how here on Twitter, people are like, y'all see what this is happening? Ladies get a gun. And then the ladies be like, yeah, we're going to get a gun. Like, damn, bro, y'all just want to be murdered. It's like, okay. So then he kept arguing with people, because he got brought up into my timeline because somebody retweeted him. I don't follow him. And they were like, bro, like, I'm a petite woman. Like, I can't go one-on-one on a man. He's like, well, why don't you take martial arts? Like, bro, I'm sorry, but if somebody's in my house trying to hurt me, I don't give a fuck if I kill him. He could die.
Like, why am I going to sit here and be conscious of the fact that I can possibly kill you when you're the one intruding on my space? Like,
they came in my house.
Maybe not attack me and you wouldn't get killed. I don't know. And like, that's the shit that pisses me off. It's like these men, like, they want us to find the fucking solution for it. Oh, we have to be protected. How about you tell your weirdo friends to be okay with rejection and back the fuck up?
And then not only like, okay, whatever, we need to protect ourselves. Okay, cool.
Yeah, of course.
But then when we are protecting ourselves, there's fucking weirdo man that be like, oh, but don't kill nobody. Like, bro, if I'm protecting myself, I don't give a fuck who dies.
I'm busting the cap like that. I do not care. It's not going to be my life. If it's me or you, is you. Okay. Like, exactly. I really hate the narrative that I've been seeing online too, very much victim blaming, but I'm like, two things. You can't victim blame a situation when she literally was assaulted and not paying attention whatsoever. Like, he literally caught her distracted. That's
at her house.
That wasn't even fucking fair. At her house. That's at number one. House.
Like,
number two, you can't victim blame, especially if you've never been in this situation. Lord forbid. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you cannot victim blame in this type of situation, especially crazy, not knowing.
And what's crazy is that here, there's not even any blame to put on the victim. Like, not that there's any another.
At all.
But like, bro, she was getting up at work, going home. What do y'all think she would? What do y'all want her to do then? If she can't even come to her house and be safe.
She was minding her fucking business. Literally, there's no way to twist this context. And I hate the fact that people are trying to.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it. And the fact that people, they try to dehumanize a victim just so they, because like, gross. At this point, who are you doing a favor? The fucking dude is dead. So it's not like he's going to be like falsely accused or, you know, like falsely convicted. He's fucking gone. So what is the point of what you're saying? Like,
and he killed himself knowing why he did that, because he's a fucking coward. So why should we hold any space for this fool?
Okay.
Like, first of all, I know we all wanted to be super hopeful, because believe me, man, I prayed and cried for this girl every day. I'm not even gonna lie. But as soon as I found out he killed himself, I was like, fuck it. I already know how this is gonna end. We're just gotta wait to find her at this point. Because it's like, why kill yourself if you didn't do anything? It literally does not make sense. And then the fact that he ratted himself out to her family literally hours after doing it, and it's just, come on, why the fuck do I need to be courteous for someone that, number one, didn't value somebody else's life, disrespected her repeatedly, disrespected her privacy, intruded on her, and then Lord knows what he did, and then he killed her.
Yeah.
This fool don't need no mercy. No, he good. He going to the pits of hell.
It's just like, I don't understand. Like, women just are not safe anywhere. Like, you,
no matter if you have guns.
Yeah, because now it's just like, bro, like, I'm trying to live on my own, and like that shit, I'm double thinking it now, because it's like, damn, bro, like, and now people obviously see. Yeah, people obviously see that I live, you know, you live on your own or whatever. And then, like, you know, I don't know. It's just
not safe. Okay. Nothing, like, you know, and then not to mention, this case is just one of the many cases that happened.
Okay.
And one of the few that we actually got to find out, because let's be fucking honest. Had it not been for social media, this family would not have gotten to where they got. And they themselves said it, because they started posting shit on social media before the police opened an active investigation. As usual.
And
because I know that whole thing. Oh, yeah. Hold on real quick. Because I know the whole thing about 48 hours or whatever. I know on one of the last episodes, Kat said that's debunked. But She reported, she's like, you know, they really said we couldn't do anything. We had to wait 48 hours. So it's kind of weird. Like, it is debunked. I see it on the internet that it is debunked, but then some places really don't do anything, because it's like, that could still be a window where they can come back. They ran away, whatever. So I guess after the 48 hours is when it's actually a missing person.
Okay. So let's talk about how the reason why there cannot be community help for cases like this is because the police reports like the news and stuff do not report on it, but they don't report on it because the police is not reporting these people as missing. They're not reporting these people as missing, and I feel like right now we're in a place, we're not going to even mention everybody who doesn't get the attention. We're just going to mention the two last people who did get the attention, who is Mia and then Gabby, correct? Mm-hmm. So right now with the cops, we're two for women who went missing and were not able to come back because they were killed by a man. Ain't none else to it. Like, people, you know, with Gabby, they were saying like, oh, he was abusive, she should have. We're past that. We're beyond, we're, you know, we're past that. And then if nobody knows, when you're in an abusive relationship, it takes around 7 or 8 times for you to leave, to actually leave. And then when you leave, you have a 70% chance more of being killed by your partner than when you stayed with them. So when when people try to argue with me stuff like this, and like, I don't know a lot of stuff of everything, but I know statistics of this. Why? Because I look up to it. I look for it. Why? Because we talk about this all the fucking time. So
most of our cases have been femicide, honestly.
Bro, remember I covered Malcolm and you guys were like, oh, a guy. You covered Ray and we were like, oh, a guy. Because
honestly,
it's just, this is what's happening. So for people to want to close their eyes and be like, well, more men get killed, or like, you know what, like, bro, that we're,
fuck
we're
off.
The cops, they, I feel like within everything, we need a better system, period. Mm-hmm. When it comes to missing people, because I'm not even just talking missing women, because then, okay, people come in and they're like, well, you know, there's also men that's missing. Okay, so let's look for them. I hate when people come in when you're speaking about women and what's happening to women. Like, mm-hmm. Well, it happens to men too. Oh, it does. So let's fix that. And I know, you know what? I've been seeing it all on Twitter, and that's why I haven't been on Twitter lately as much, because it's bothering me. All these men are like, well, men, women, women, women. I mean, men, 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 men. But okay, so do you know about Brian Lapis? No, I don't know who that is. Exactly, because you don't give a fuck. He also went missing. We don't know where he's at. And guess what? You didn't know about him because you didn't give a fuck about him. You don't give a fuck to how we give a fuck, where we looking. You know, you guys joke about it all the time. You're like, oh, so you know so many like crimes. And it's because I honestly like love knowing about it, because it makes you so aware of what's happening in the world, period. Right. People are like, oh, it doesn't happen. Everybody, it happens to enough people where we have a whole community of true crime that can make a podcast of a case every single day, and it's a different fucking person.
Yep.
So, you know, we've talked about it before. It's a fucking issue. It's a fucking issue. It's just, and you know, a lot of people,
I was gonna say, there's even a whole like thing on Vice that tells you, I think you had even mentioned it, that it was like a mini docuseries on like the top 10 most dangerous countries in the world for women.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. I think Mexico was on there, unfortunately, and I'm pretty sure DR is on there on two somewhere. Yeah. Top something. It may not be top DR 10, but it's top something, because
number like 3 or something, because there's DR like around crazy. Like, if they're fucking crazy, and like, it's so much machismo going on. It's so much more, because I get it. Teach men to respect women, but it's such a cycle that we have to break, because right now we're kind of getting rid of the old people. Okay, you know, then they're gonna die. Right, I think we're very aware of what we need to kind of do. You know, you as a mom, me as a mom of man, boys who are gonna be man. You know, thankfully we're able to change those 2 kids, but that's only 2 kids out of how many? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And but you know, we do our thing or whatever, and then it just sucks. So, like I said, it just, police reporting has to be better, I think. And if the news picks it up and takes my idea, that would be great. I don't understand why the news channel don't have a segment of missing people in their state, in their country, in their city, in their state, in their whatever, for what, 5 minutes. Like, in 5 minutes, you could put circulate a lot of pictures and just progressively post of what happened. Like, either, you know, they still haven't found, or they were found to see. Like, why do I have to go to a certain shows, like when they had not America's Most Wanted, but the other Wood Walsh. What was that thing?
The American
Missing
Children.
Yes. Why do I have to go to a show like that for me to see missing children? The kids are fucking missing. Boards. Yeah, their fucking kids are missing. Put them on the fucking news. Y'all put all the stupid. Y'all be putting the fucking Kardashian on the news.
Or Kanye West. Like, or Jay-Z. Yeah, we get it.
People who I could go to their Instagram and see what the fuck they got going on. Like,
which is nothing.
We need to talk about people who need to be talked about. And then, okay, so let's go back to the Gabby Petito case. I feel like a lot of people are like, well, she got all this attention. Gabby Petito got the attention every victim deserves. She didn't get, I don't think that any attention that Gabby got should be taken from her, from her case. Because first of all, that's still an open case because they haven't found the fucking son of a bitch that allegedly might have done something to her. But Gabby got the attention that every victim should get. So when people are mentioning it, you know, I understand frustrations as a Mexican. I understand the frustration how Native people were not being talked about. You know, we can't talk about them because let's go back to what I just said. The police doesn't take their missing.
The names aren't there.
The reporters don't take their going missing serious. It's such a bad, like, cycle system. Of how they can be reported. Yeah, it's such a bad system how they're not reported. So we could only do what people, you know, what's out there. And I've told you, I put under people's TikToks and Twitters and stuff like that, like, hey, we're a true crime podcast. If you want to get your person's case out, just let me know. You know what I'm saying? And unfortunately, a lot of them don't. But you don't know who listens to us. You don't know how it could help. So we've said it before. We're here. If you know somebody that's missing, you know, email us and then we'll get and make a small profile of, you know, what their life was. And then kind of like how we always do. And then, you know, this is where their last word missing. We'll there. Put up their picture. Yeah. So it's just so frustrating because so. Then I've seen on my timeline, I have seen like a lot of people, it hit them very hard because Mia was, I mean, she's a baby. She's from, you know what I'm saying, down the street, basically Orlando's down the street from us. And a lot of people were like, damn, I really wanted to talk about this. And a lot, you know, one of my homeboys, I was like, let's talk about it. He was like, bro, I really was waiting for you to hit me up. We were supposed to make a space to talk. They didn't. It's cool or whatever. I could always come back and tell y'all how they're feeling, you know, but they're feeling down and out. Like, damn, it hit close to home. Like, and for me, like,
that's
for
how I was.
Because
I went to UCF and I used to hang out at that apartment complex all the fucking time. Like, Adriana's mom used to be one of the managers at that property there. So, like, we would be there all the time. Not to mention that, you know, that's close to home. I also went to Valencia. I went both to Valencia and UCF, you know, so those are stomping grounds. They're not that far from where I live, you know. And then not to mention the apartment complex where he lived, San Jose apartment complex, is right off of Hallow Branch, so that's right here, not that far from me, like 15-minute drive. And then the apartment complex where he used to work, where his body was found, is across the street. It's not even a mile from my complex. So, like, this whole case, this whole crime happened between a fucking triangle perimeter around where I live, you know, and then this girl literally is 19, you know, like, now that I'm a mom and stuff, I can physically feel certain emotions that I wasn't capable before because I didn't know what it was like to have that type of attachment. But being so close, being from Orlando, being from, you know, the alma maters and all that stuff, and being in these places, like, I've gone to these apartment complexes and who knows, might have walked right past this guy. I don't fucking know. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I, even watching the reports, man, like, I did cry. Like, I literally felt like it was almost one of my family members because, again, these are children. Gabby and her were kids. Gabby was 22. That's nothing. Yeah, you know, shit, I'm 28 and I feel like I ain't nothing. Like, I haven't lived shit. Exactly. I'm still a baby. You know what I'm saying? So if they're younger than me, holy shit. They're females losing their lives. Gabby lost her lives in the hand of somebody she fucking trusted and loved. Mm-hmm. And this one loses her life in her home.
Yeah.
You know, and as a woman, that makes me think, I'm like, obviously, you know, don't have to worry about a lover killing me. Thank the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Don't gotta worry about that. He ain't gonna do me like that. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, I could be home alone and a maintenance person come, and Lord, it's just so fucking realistic. Like, it's not that far-fetched of a story and, of a scenario. Okay.
Last week, was it last week, 2 weeks ago, somebody tried to break into my mom's house and my sister was there by herself. What? Yeah, my sister's like 4'11". She's not a fighter because I'm running for a knife. She froze. She was like, I don't know what to do. We think the guy was just trying to steal because she wasn't supposed to be home. It was just a random day that she stayed home or whatever. But what if it wasn't like that? You know what I'm saying? Like, what if it was? And like, you know, I had told her, like, bro, we have two pit bulls. You should let the dogs go on him. And she was like, I froze, like, my bad. And I was like, you know what? I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying that's what you should have done. That's what we have the dog. And today, my best friend and I, we were talking about this case. She was like, best friend, I think that you should get a dog when you move out. And because I live with my best friend, but I'm trying to look for my own place or whatever. And I told her that, yeah, I think I'm going to take my dog, who he's a little crazy. He's a pit bull. And, you know, he actually attacks on command. So I'm going to take him and I'm going to take my gun and everything. But at the same time, it's just like, if I'm coming home,
have to okay, do all that.
You know that. One, I should have to take, you know, do that. Two, when I come home, okay, so usually my son takes two things of toys to his nanny. And I have my bag and my gallon of water. And then I have my son, because I have to hold his hand. And I have the keys. And I usually have either my phone or you stop to get the mail, whatever. My hands are full. So even if I do have a gun, even if I do have a dog, even if I do have all of this, if somebody wants to subdue me and like while I'm walking in with my son, it's good. It can happen. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. No matter how, you know, tough we are or whatever. And then one thing, when I was in high school, my criminal justice teacher, he did always tell me, tell us, he didn't just tell me, that, you know, if you're, God forbid, in a situation like that, you fight, because you have more possibilities of surviving if you fight than if you don't fight. You know what I'm saying? And that's, like, in my mind, what I've always, like, you know, thought of doing. But first of all, you never know until you're in that situation. Secondly, if I'm coming home, I'm not expecting somebody to fucking be ready to guard. Kill me.
Right. No, it's just, it's, there's so many different factors to it that it's like, I hate when people try to make it so black and white, because it's like, you can't, it's not a black and white situation. And then it's like, you know, there's always a situation. What if it's one person getting attacked by two or three perpetrators? What the fuck do you expect? Yeah. And at that point, it don't matter if it's a female or a male, obviously, because one against three, that don't fucking matter. But think about it. You know, there are situations where women do get abducted by more than one man. You know, things happen because, unfortunately, people like this do sometimes run in packs and
they find each other very odd.
Yeah. It's just fucking like, weird. So it's,
how do you find another creep? Like, how did,
what
how
do you talk about? Like, I was just going to say, yeah, like,
I, you know, thought of killing somebody. Like, what? How does that come up?
I don't fucking know. Which that makes it even worse if you think about it. Because it's like, honestly, bro, the fact that y'all do it and then together and then plot it. Really, how does this come up? You know, I was thinking, Billy Bob, I'm gonna go kill somebody today. You want to come? Like, the fuck?
And it sucks that, you know, he took his own life, because he should be getting charged by the law and, you know what I'm saying, going to prison and either dying in prison. I know I'm a big believer in the death penalty, but it's not the same thing if you get killed by the death penalty than if you kill yourself. So, yeah, like, I do wish that, just like I wish, what's his face, Brian is caught, and do we have the death penalty in Florida? I think Cass said we do. I hope they give it to him.
I'm pretty sure we do. I'm pretty sure we're one of the few states that still holds it. But, you know, and that family also is a piece of shit. I have no sympathy or compassion for that family. Y'all are some pieces of shit, first of all. okay, y'all haven't even confronted this family, haven't sent them nothing, haven't said she can't even face this family, this poor girl's family, hiding your son out, yeah, acting like nothing, and the sister out here.
They were guarding.
They were what?
They were gardening. Yeah, they were outside doing their garden, doing their flowers. Like, you son of a bitch. But it just goes to show you the type of fucking family some of these motherfuckers have. And I'm not saying all because some of And I'm not saying all, but some of them, look at this shit, bro. Like, why are they not arrested? Come on, dog.
They have enough to arrest these people with fucking obstruction of evidence of all this stuff, because they found out that the mom bought him a burner phone. So if you can find out that the mom bought him a fucking burner phone, what does that tell you? If he did, if he dead in a ditch somewhere, the fuck is she buying him a burner phone for? If she didn't know he did something, why the fuck is she buying him a burner phone? You think I'm gonna buy my son a burner phone just to buy?
No.
Because if his phone broke or something, hello honey boo boo, you get to pay the deductible or your Apple Care insurance and they give you a new phone. So you're not going to tell me you bought the burner phone because his phone fucked up. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
You know, honestly, my question is, what the fuck do they teach people in detective school or whatever, criminal justice school, police academy? What do y'all get educated on? Because seeing some of these flags that these cops let pass, bro, y'all need to do better. Because this man, Armando Caballero, should have never fucking walked free. He should not be dead right now. And that's on the police. And that's on the motherfucking police. Period.
Yes, it is.
And you know, I'm pissed as fuck at the fact that the sheriff, he did not take accountability for that. And he should have mentioned how they failed to apprehend him that evening, because they did fail. You know, now the only reason I'm glad he took himself out is because he can't do this shit again. You feel me?
And he would have.
And he would have, abso-fucking-lutely. And the only reason he killed himself is because I bet you this was the first time he did this shit. He freaked out. He basically told on himself and then realized, well, I'm either going to be in jail for the rest of my life because they know it's me, or I'm going to just off myself. And he chose the easy way.
Yeah, that's crazy. That.
Outside of that, though, he was a coward and weak, and he deserved to be alive only to pay the consequences of his actions.
Of his actions. Amen. Yeah.
Outside of that, peace. Burn in hell. Peace.
No, for real. Because that man definitely in hell right now.
And the only people I feel bad for are, you know, maybe his mom. Maybe his mom didn't know. The lawyer did say that his family had reached out to Mia, to my understanding, that they did give a brief statement or whatever, but that's as far as that goes. Imagine, see, that's my fucked up part, is that imagine what this poor family now has to confront, because their family member.
A sick son of a bitch.
And that's what a lot of people in these situations don't realize. They only look at, you know, things so small and narrow-minded. But it's like, you know, Mia lost her life. Her family's suffering forever. He took his life. His family's suffering forever because he took his life. But now also coming to terms with the fact that their family member was a fucking sicko.
Yep.
There's layers to this shit.
You got that mom wondering where she went wrong. That her son turned out the way he is. Yeah, that shit's crazy.
And probably taking it on. Yeah, and probably taking that guilt on that now another family doesn't have their loved one because of her child. You know what I'm saying? Like, people don't think of things like that. And it really is, there's so much more to crimes than just the crime itself. And, you know, that's the forensics part of the crime and of psychology. But, I mean, ultimately, you know, at this point, we know he did it.
Yes.
Thankfully, in the sense, you know, within the situation. Her family now has that justice in the sense of knowing what happened to her.
And they have her, like her body, because a lot of people go without, you know, getting their body back. They can mourn her and they can put her to rest. A lot of people don't get that. And I'm not saying like, oh, yay, you know, yay for them. But, you know, it helps.
It's better than wondering.
I think it helps you. Yeah. Yeah. It helps you because you're not wondering. I mean, and I know, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's just, it's so sad. It's so, so sad.
It really is. It really is. And, you know, it's something that like this, it's, there's honestly, I could have created a whole series on this shit, on understanding criminals and understanding how it starts and where it starts and all that shit. And we could be here all motherfucking day. But all I have to say is pay attention to your children. Like, but yeah, you know, obviously we can't always all know the signs, duh, you know, shit happens, but pay attention to your kids. Make sure you're teaching them the right things. Make sure you're teaching them how to respect people early on. You know, there are things that we as parents have to make sure our kids know. And I'm not saying we're responsible for everything as they become adults and all that stuff, but we are responsible for giving them fundamental building blocks. And a lot of what happens in your childhood does formulate what you do as an adult, you know. And not saying that parents are to blame for a lot of these, because that's not what I'm saying either. What I am saying, though, is that there are steps we can take to potentially avoid certain situations. You know, sometimes these things can be avoidable if we take the right measures. And I think that as a community, as people, we need to start taking proper measures for ourselves, holding others accountable, you know, because this just cannot fucking continue. Like, this cannot continue to happen. We are already facing a large war ourselves, you know, with government this, government that, the world just crashing and burning on its own. And the last thing we need is more of our society to be attacking each other from the inside out. Like, it's, this shit has to fucking stop. You men really need to understand that women do not owe you anything. We're not your fucking property. We're not here to appease you and please you. We're not your moms to owe you shit, okay? And your mama don't owe you shit either, actually. So no one owes you anything. Grow the fuck up. Like, honestly, please grow up. Please, if you maybe potentially be a harm to somebody, seek help. No one deserves to be dead because you can't take a no. Like, that's not fair. It is not fair. And if y'all out here listening and y'all have done some fucked up shit to a woman before, think twice, especially if you have sisters, daughters, your mama's still alive. Come on now.
I mean, I
came from a woman. The fuck? Mom,
so.
That's true. I mean, that's kind of what I was trying to get at before, but I don't want to say it just like that. But, you know, a lot of it is. Yeah, a lot of these killers are women beaters and killers because they hate their mothers. And you know what? They had shitty moms, unfortunately. When you hear about it, they did have shitty moms. That's not justifiable, not what I'm saying. But unfortunately, you have to be able to be objective about things and be able to understand that all of these pieces do in part take play.
Yes.
You know, if the one woman in your life treats you like shit always, never made you feel loved and welcomed and whatever, obviously it's, I would assume and I would understand why someone would grow such hate towards women. I can understand that. Does it make it okay? No. But at least you can have an understanding of what is going on. But again, then that comes down to it. You know, you're not ready to have a kid. Don't have kids out here. Don't create a life you're not ready to sustain and educate and protect and love, because these are things that will come, turn around and have large effects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is not to judge anybody.
Right. No. But if you want to, you just go get the help.
Please.
Absolutely.
Like, our lives literally depend on this. If, and again, if you have daughters, nieces, anything, if you have close females in your life, think about those females, because that's another thing that pisses me off, is that some of these aggressors are so protective about the women in their life, but Lord forbid any other bitch.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Respect, like, everybody, love everybody, leave everybody alone.
Right. And it really could be that easy. It could be that easy. It really could be. So I think we're good to leave this here. If you have any closing statements, go ahead.
No, that's it. Just, RIP Mia, and, you know, condolences to her family. And, you know, I mean, there's not much you could say to them. We can say to them, it's just, it's going to suck. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Community is with y'all. And if anybody else is listening that has any family members or friends that are missing and would like to get their name and picture out there, please email us at laschicasdelcrime@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram or Facebook. And we will happily help you get your family members' identity out there. Because let's not forget, this is why Las Chicas del Crime made their podcast. We're not here just for entertainment and laugh. We are actually here to help our community. So please use us. We are here for you guys.
Yep. Yeah. And eso es todo.
And with that, we leave y'all. Bye. Till next time.
Thank you for listening to Las Chicas del Crime. We hope you join us next time for another episode full of crime y chisme. Give us a follow on all of our socials, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, which we will list on the description of this episode. Please also rate our show and leave us a review, as that helps bring awareness to our podcast. We appreciate it. Gracias.